Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is part 199 of How to Have God's Life Living in You, and this is program number 301. If you'd like to have a copy of it, please specify at the end of the program when Sharon tells you how you, four different ways that you can receive a copy. Please specify whether you want a CD or a tape copy, a audio tape copy. We have some music. We have, it was really something when the Lord told me, have one of the people in the church, one of the secretaries, get Hitler's speeches. It would be fascinating to know in English what this dude was saying, because this guy's responsible for slaughtering 6 million Jews and my people. I'm Jewish. And, people have to kneel down before the world's greatest Jew in order to get into the kingdom of heaven. And in fact, you have to become a Jew. You have to let the Lord Jesus Christ live in. You have to become part of the new Jerusalem in order to enter heaven. So anyway, I started reading these speeches, and there were a lot of things, just a whole lot of things that were absolutely right that he was saying. But that he got into it really bad with the Lord, because God says you don't do bad things to the Jews. He started murdering Jewish people. And that's a big no-no with the Lord, because the Lord says, I'll bless them that bless the Jews, and I'll curse them that curse the Jews. And when even though he didn't want the UN to come in, because the Vatican told him that the UN was created by the Jews. Well, this is a dirty lie. You can just look up the Charter of the United Nations and you'll see who's on it. And it's the Vatican, Cardinal Spellman, and all these different people from the Vatican and Vaticanite people that put together the UN Charter, or NATO, whatever you want to call it. So when the Pope and the Cardinals and all the people that were surrounding Hitler, because he too was a Catholic, they were telling him that it was the God had ordained Hitler to murder all the Jews, because that the Jews, the three Jews, are the devil. And you hear all kinds of crazy things, rumors going around, and people have a tendency, because the Lord said that people are like sheep. And sheep are the dumbest animals on the face of this earth, all right? And in the book of Enoch, and the Bible mentions Enoch, okay? And he did write books. He was one of the greatest prophets of all time. He even prophesied of Moses and Aaron leading the children of Israel out of Egypt and through a big sea, hundreds and hundreds of years before it ever happened. And the way that Enoch from God got this message was that Moses and Aaron were rams, the two rams, the two leaders of the sheep. So he says the flock of sheep. So the leaders, the actual ones that are not only called, but the chosen ones. There's very few chosen ones in this world. There was only one Moses in that day and age that was in charge of the born of the Spirit people. You say, well, how could they be born of the Spirit? Because Jesus didn't come until the New Testament. Before the New Testament, before Jesus came in this world, you had to believe in the prophecies of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So before the cross, you had to believe in Jesus and that he was going to die. He was the Lamb of God, and that he was going to die on the cross. And then after Christ came and died on the cross, we are looking back at the cross. So before, they were looking at the cross in advance, and now we're looking back at it. So that was plainly described in the book of Exodus when all throughout the Bible it calls Jesus, God come in the flesh, the Lamb of God. And so before they could leave Egypt, they had to acknowledge that. And even Adam had to acknowledge that in order to be saved, to be born again. So actually, the actual Spirit of God, after Jesus came, and yes, after he resurrected and went into the kingdom of heaven, he was then able to send the Spirit of God down, not only to the prophets now and then, but now the Spirit of God lives in his people, those that accept the Lord, day and night, every day. And but at any rate, they had to acknowledge the blood of the Lamb, which takes away the sins of the world. And they had to slaughter a lamb and take the blood and put it on the doorpost and the mantle, and then put a basin down on the bottom to where the blood was there. They had hyssop, which is a plant that is readily available in Israel. It actually grows out of the walls of the Wailing Wall there, and all over the stones you see this hyssop. And they dipped it in there, and they had to put it on all the doorposts and on each side above, and then the basin down below, which is the sign of the cross. That the blood, there's no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. And there's nobody's blood that's perfect in this world. And no human blood that was perfect except the human blood of Jesus. Now, Jesus didn't have any different blood than we do, just like the Bible says that all people, all nations have the same blood, okay? Black people have the same blood. Brown people, beige people, yellow people, red people, and what they call white people. I've never seen anybody as white as a sheet, except, I think, Michael Jackson. And also that group of rock and roll singers that had those white masks on. What's the name of them? Oh, yeah, Kiss. Now, that's white, okay? Okay, or Ofay. So the thing is that Jesus had, they were all looking back, they were looking in advance. They had to believe in that the Messiah was coming to the world, just as God told Adam. And in the book of Adam and Eve, he says, in the last days, Adam and Eve were grieving, and they fasted for days and days. And the Lord had mercy on them and told them, I'm coming to the world in the last days as a man. And if you believe that, and I'm going to have to die and shed blood for the forgiveness of your sins, if you believe in that blood, that I'm going to do this, then you'll be saved, all right? And in those days on the resurrection, I'll fill you with the Spirit in your grave. Amen?
Amen.
But we that are living today, we're looking back at the cross, and those of us that are going to be saved, we see all the history of that. You know, it's the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God, the blood of Jesus. Even Abel offered up a lamb and sent up a burnt offering with it to acknowledge that the Messiah was coming back to the world as a man, because his father Adam told him that. Amen?
Amen?
He told him what God told him. God told me, son, Adam said, that he's coming, and he told it to Cain, too. And so he says, I'm coming to the world in the last days as a man, and I have to come as a man because I'm going to have human blood in me, and I'm going to never commit a sin, and I'm going to die, and then I'm going to raise from the dead on the third day. And before that, I'm going into hell to pay for your sins and all the other people, your posterity. Those are the people that are going to be from you. Now, there's only all human people all come from Adam and Eve. There's no, they hear all kinds of false doctrines and things like UN and all this stuff or democracy. You know, the United States is not a democracy, it's a republic. And to the republic for which we, the United States of America, stand. One nation, indivisible, not divided at all. Because when we're divided, we can be conquered. And that's what happened when we received the Vatican doctrine of democracy, which is really dictatorship. So, one nation under God. Why did we join 200 other nations? We were the strongest nations in the world. Now I think we're 50 or 60 down the line, because the United Nations has voted to send all of our stuff, everything out, all of our industry to other nations. And Hitler, I mean, surprisingly, I found in his speeches that he was afraid of the same thing. But where Hitler got into it was that he killed the Jews. And the Bible tells us that he says, I'll curse them that curse thee, you Jewish people, and I'll bless them that bless thee, the Jews. And I had that scripture all written out here. I don't know what happened to it, but I was going to read. It's in Genesis 12:3. He's talking to Abraham, and he says, quote, I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Well, what did he mean by that? Well, because Jesus was a Jew, and he came to the seed of Abraham, who was the first Jew, Isaac, Jacob, the lion from the tribe of Judah, which was one of Jacob's or Israel's sons. And that's why Israel is called Israel, is because it's been given by God to the Jews, and you try to take it away and you're going to be cursed. And one of the curses is that you'll be mad, you'll be insane, you'll be sick in your head. So Hitler was right by keeping the UN out, because he thought it was the Jews. But if he would have known that it was the Vatican, then the setup would not be there. So the Vatican does not want to be known to be head of the United Nations or the media. Because, you know, if I ran the media and I was supposed to, of course I'm going to say, don't exalt anybody but me. And that's what the media does. Because if you do, I'm going to take your FCC license away from you, and you won't be able to be on the air any longer. Now, you people have millions and millions and millions of dollars invested in your station here, right? So don't be exalting any Christian organization. As a matter of fact, I want you to let everybody know that they're cults. And I want you to make people believe that the United Nations is a proper thing for us to do. Now, you know, history shows us that the UN was created by the Vatican. In San Francisco, they signed the charter there. And so it is the Vatican. They don't want you to know that, but they got sloppy. You know, they were so eager. They got this bright idea. And democracy comes out of the Vatican. The Vatican and democracy means dictatorship. And you'll hear that if we get time, if the Lord stops anointing me, and we can get into Hitler's speech here, you'll see that he just absolutely thought it was the Jews. But there's not one Jewish signature on the charter in San Francisco. I'm sorry. But I'm not sorry. I'm glad I know these things, okay? Mm-hmm. So now, so Hitler believed all these things, and then he also believed the Pope when he says, kill the Jews. They're the devil. And you hear the media saying all those things, this demonic cult. Why don't they say that the Pope is the demonic cult? He's the one that came up with the United Nations. And Hitler is saying in his speeches that, look, we don't want the United Nations to come in where we're weak already by listening to this dogma. We're weak. We need to pull together and have one nation together, our socialist party. And we, as a nation, need to get together and just be a republic again. Amen?
Amen.
A republic. One nation. We didn't need help from any other nations. But what we did is we let the NATO, the United Nations, which is Rome, and Rome is led by the devil, and the United Nations and the media talk the stupid people in this country to give away our industry to Japan and Germany and all the other ones, where Hitler is saying, no, we don't want any help from the UN whatsoever. What we want is to be one nation. We have enough land here. We have enough people here. We need to all join together as one people, as a sort of say, a republic. And the minute we start letting them come in, then they're going to start telling us what to do like they did in the past, or like people tried to get us to do in the past, and now we are weak. But it's in generation after generation, we're going to get stronger so that we don't need help. Now, I want peace more than anyone, Hitler said. But these people, these Jews, which the Vatican told him, are coming in here, are coming and saying that we must join the UN. Okay, so he was right in that respect, but terribly wrong when he started cursing God's chosen people. Mm-hmm. When he started murdering them and sending into gas chambers and burning them up, the man was insane. So you can be 99% right in some things and 1% wrong, and God will curse you until you are finished. The comedy is over. La commedia finito, as they say in Italian. La commedia finito, that means the comedy, she's a finish. She's a no more, it's over, okay? You understand?
Yes.
Okay, good. I, God said, Genesis 12:3, will bless them that bless thee, you Jews, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed, because the Jews are going to bring forth the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the root of Jesse, the lion from the tribe of Judah, and on it shows that Jesus was a Jew, and that he was the Messiah, and that he was the Savior of the world, and that he was God come in the flesh. Amen?
Amen.
And that he did shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. And he died once, he said in the book of Revelation, that he's not going to come back and die again. So when you get forgiven by him, you have to keep his commandments if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven. Otherwise, you're going to hell. Amen?
Amen.
And then the lake of fire. Okay, so we have some songs here. But first, we're going to pray. Amen?
Amen?
Father, we thank and praise your holy name for the insight you've given us into your word, and for giving me the Holy Spirit and everyone in this church and churches all over the world that have received the Holy Spirit. We need, and Lord, for giving us the knowledge that we need to stand together, and that we need never to be afraid, that we need to stand up and we need to resist peacefully with the Word of God, but strongly with the Word of God, the fallacies and the filth and corruption and degeneracy that's in this world. The Vatican is the one that's putting all this smut on television. They're the ones that took the Bible out of the schools and also taking it out of the courtrooms with one of their organizations called the ACLU. They split up into so many factions that they've confused most of the people. And the Lord said that most of the people will be confused in the last day. They'll be just so confused that they're deceived and that they're going to hell in the lake of fire if they don't repent, if they don't see the light. Lord, open up people's mind. Open up their minds and their spiritual, the man that's inside of them, the spirit, their temporal spirit, and that they'll be smart enough, that they'll be holy enough, that they'll be scriptural enough, concerned enough about their souls and their family souls to open their hearts and let you come in, that their souls might be saved. And Lord, strengthen the churches and let everybody know that they should take these tapes and play them to everybody they know and everybody that they don't know. They should have meetings in their houses and different businesses all over the world to show the people of these things. And, you know, the Father put in their heart that they can read these speeches of Hitler and that they should know that some of the things he said were right, but that the things that he did were evil by cursing your chosen people, the Jews. Pray for the peace of Israel, for Jerusalem, the Bible says. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And, you know, those of us that are Christians are Jerusalem. We're New Jerusalem, the body of Christ, the wife of God, the wife of Christ. Jesus is the head and we are the body. We're the continuation of the Lord's incarnation right here on earth today. Lord, we ask that you do all these things in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
And praise the Lord. Now here's Gary S. Passon, a very, very, very talented man, and I've known him for, gosh, many years, well before I was saved, and I've been in the ministry 42 years. And he's singing Peace in the Valley. That's what we want, is peace.
Amen.
But not the kind of peace that democracy or the one world dictatorship wants, because that isn't peace at all. It is Antichrist, what they're doing. We want peace in the Spirit of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, Gary, sing it.
And so weary, but I'm up, go on, till the Lord will come and carry me away, oh yeah, where the morning is so bright, and the Lamb is the light, and the night is as fair as the day. Oh, we.
praise the Lord. That was great, Gary. Keep up the good work. Praise the Lord. Man, I could really feel the Spirit of the Lord when you sing. And that arrangement there that you have of that song is so wonderful. It's really great. And I hope it blessed everybody. I know it blessed everybody's souls out there. Amen?
Amen.
Everybody here too, huh?
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Just keep those songs rolling. Gary's produced so many songs in the past. He's done a couple of albums for me. And some of the biggest stars in the world. So let's see now. But the ones that he's producing them for is the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
There's no better person to be working for. So now the Bible says, I'll say it again, that in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, that's just about where we're at. You know, we've already seen a lot of plagues on the earth with all the different diseases that you see today. And then also you see those tsunamis. And you saw what the Lord did to a town in Louisiana. Amen?
Amen.
Called New Orleans. Okay, and they just can't seem to get out of the hole there. When God destroyed Sodom, Gomorrah, the five cities out there on the plain, there's no way they can rebuild it. They can't. They just can't, as they say down south, okay? So the days of the voice of the seventh angel, which you read in the Bible, when he shall begin to sound. Wow, this is all the different plagues start coming down. But, of course, the mystery of God should be finished. Now, there shouldn't be, you know, after my messages, there shouldn't be any person not knowing the mystery of God. Amen?
Amen.
The mystery of God is solved in the Word. Some people say, we'll never know what the mystery of God. Oh, yes, the Lord says that the mystery of God should be finished. This is in the 10th chapter of the book of Revelation. As the Lord has declared to his servants, the prophets. So, Then there's going to be all these plagues. The time is, and this is almost the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation, where the two witnesses will appear. And then people are going to hate them so much that when Satan rises up and kills them, and their bodies are laying on the streets for 3.5 days, God will, they send gifts one to another because these two witnesses really troubled the people on the earth. They just rubbed it in, you know, that there definitely is a heaven and hell, and that if you're not saved, you're going to go there, and that there's no religion that is right, only we are salvationists. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said you must, not you should, but you must be born again of the Spirit. Or otherwise, you will not go to heaven, you'll be in hell. Well, what about mom and dad? If they were not saved, they went to hell, all right? So what do you want me to do? Be like the other preachers and tell you, oh, everything is just God. It just doesn't mean what he says in his word. No, I'm not going to say that. He means exactly what he says in his word. Okay. Praise the Lord. Now, let's begin with... You give them the website where they can get all these Hitler speeches, you know, and read them for yourself, you know. They're in English, if you speak English, and if you're Chinese, we'll have somebody translate it for you, okay? Go ahead. What website is that?
www.hitler.org.
Okay. So, and to me, he looked like a crazy man when he was shaking his fist and he had that weird mustache. And, you know, the way he was acting, his eyes bugging out of his head. And then just, you know, because I knew that he had murdered 6 million Jews. And then the American propagandists did, and the UN propagandists did a whole lot of bad stuff on him. They made songs up Like when the Fuhrer says, it is the great disgrace. It's half, half in the Fuhrer's face. You know, that was on the air every place. Amen? During World War II, the ones here are shrugging because they don't know. They weren't born yet. Okay, but I was around. I thought, man, how can they put that on the air? When the Fuhrer says, it is the great disgrace. It's half, half right in the Fuhrer's face. And all kinds of songs like that. And they got Hitler, you know, cartoons of him skating and falling down and all kinds of crazy stuff. And painting and his foot going in a bucket. You know, this is the stuff that the propagandists do. And they did that with the Jews, too, to make him... This was to make us think of him as just being a clown. And then the propaganda that was going on in Germany that the Vatican gave Germany to play... was that the Jews were, like, going to rule the world, and these ugly guys with these big noses and everything. Well, I know a lot of Jews that don't have big noses. Mention Stonecake, Elizabeth Taylor. She isn't a big, ugly Jewish. See, everybody thought she's so beautiful all these years. She's from England, but she's Jewish, amen?
Amen.
And Tony Curtis, yeah, pretty good-looking dude. You know, Elvis Presley wanted to look like him. Amen?
Amen?
Did everything he could, dyed his hair, put on eyebrow pencil and all this kind of stuff to look like him. Everybody, all the guys wanted to look like Tony Curtis. And there's just a whole rash of Jeff Chandler, all these guys. But they, you know, the propagandists have to overdo it. Yeah, we have some Jews that have big noses. And I've seen some Swedes and Finns and all kinds of people. Every nationality has big noses. Italians especially call them banana noses, you know. Mm-hmm. Sorry, guys. No, what can I tell you? All right, we're just using a little bit. But where they got into it is they started killing God's chosen people. And he was, so the propagandists really got to him. And then they said, we have to arm ourselves, be an independent nation, a republic, one nation, under God. Because Hitler said he believed in God. But if he would have read the Bible, he would have known that you're not supposed to murder anybody. Amen?
Amen.
And the people here in the United States should know better than to murder these little babies. Okay?
Amen.
And all you people in the world that are murdering little babies and think that it's right because some woman and all these little kids at school are going out and fornicating and you're supplying them with birth control pills and condoms and all these different things to make it look like it's okay. You weasels in the Vatican, I guarantee you, if you don't repent, you're going to spend eternity screaming your heads off. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's listen to a little bit of Hitler here. Okay? Who ever thought I would be preaching, you know, showing things about Hitler? But he was right in many of the things that he said. But where he was wrong was murder. Murdering God's chosen people. That's why he was cursed. That's why the whole place got wiped out finally. And the very one that he thought was the Jews that bombed him wasn't the Jews at all. It was the Charter, remember, of the United Nations was signed in San Francisco. And it was Cardinal Spellman and others of his family, such as FDR, Stalin, and I don't know if Charles de Gaulle was there. I made a mistake in the message yesterday. I said that Franco, it's not Franco, he was of Spain, but it was Charles de Gaulle. Charles de Gaulle, they call it in France. I lived there for a while. Okay, go ahead and let's hear a little bit from Adolf, okay?
This is another one of his speeches dated November 6, 1938. What seems to us almost a miracle as we look back upon it is nothing else than the reward for infinite and unweary labor.
Yeah, okay.
And now for
So unweary labor means that they weren't really putting their shoulder to the plow. They weren't putting their shoulder to the wheel. Because what they did over here, the United Nations, is the government started sending narcotics in to this country and making 40-hour weeks and making it illegal for boys to work you know, just normal hours and everything. And pretty soon it was like unweary working. Everybody was just laying around, watching TV, smoking dope and jumping rope. Skipping rope, you know? Robidope. Okay, so that's what he's saying. You know, everything was too lax here. We need to get to work, he's saying. Amen?
Amen.
Arbeiten means work. Okay, then what in German?
And now for that labor we have received from Providence our reward, just as the Germany of 1918 received its reward.
Yeah, the reward of just lackadaisy labor. The idle mind is the devil's workshop. Amen?
Amen.
Sit around and everything, the devil starts putting ideas in your mind, you know? Amen?
Amen.
Instead of just keeping your mind on the Lord and rolling your sleeves up and going to work. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
At that time, Germany shared in those blessings which we think of under the collective idea, democracy.
Yeah. Now, democracy, that started out in Rome. That's not a United States idea. That's they tried all kinds of ideas of how to keep people together and to do and to rule the world, and that was the one they came upon. They don't like to use the word dictatorship. Democracy is better. Democratic has become a real flowery word, but really, when you pull the mask off it, it is dictatorship. Anything from Rome is dictatorship. For us and us alone, Rome says. Okay, then what?
But Germany has learned that democracy in practice is a different thing from democracy in theory.
Yeah. See, they have their theory. Rome has their theory of what democracy is, and that is dictatorship. One of the Romans' people, puppets, is Bush. He's not responsible for wanting to send all those new soldiers over to Iraq. It's the United Nations. It's really... the Pope that told him to do that, because the Pope wants all the attention, the evil attention, to be on somebody else other than itself. Now, Rome is being exposed so much by me that they are just throwing out smoke screens. Bush, he's doing something that is totally insane so that your mind is focused on him rather than the one that has told him to do this. Bush is so afraid not to do what the Vatican says, that he just is like a little puppy scared to death. And it has driven him into the beer joints. Okay? Mm-hmm. You can see his face is swollen up and his eyes are narrowing. I used to run around with the dean of Rice University in Houston because we were buddies. We used to run around when I was with the American Health Studios and Silhouette Figure Forms. I was the executive vice president there across the United States and in Canada. And you know, we used to, this was way before I was saved, I was just in my 20s. And we used to go into beer joints and sing, Hang Down Your Head, Tom, Pause, Dooley, Hang Down Your Head, and cry, oh, we all know, boy. Okay, stuff like that. And we'd eat peanuts and drink beer. You know, forget your troubles, let your mind roll on, Sloopy, amen? Okay. I'm sorry, I come from the entertainment industry. I have to throw a few quips in there now and then. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, but it's not funny, but, you know, it's. I'm just saying I have a background, and when I look at Bush, this guy from Rice University looks a lot like him, and I just, every time I see him, I figure, yeah, that's old, what's his name, you know? Yeah, I kind of like that guy, but I know that Bush is a weakling. And he comes on strong because he knows he's got the Vatican and the United Nations troops behind him. He isn't a strong man at all. Anybody that would do what the Vatican says or the United Nations, they're weak. Okay, then what?
If today...
This is Hitler now again, right?
Right.
And remember, we're not at all for Hitler, but, I mean, he was for keeping the UN out of his country, because what they've done to our country is they've given our country away to other nations, and we're broke now. Now they say we're about number 57 or number 60 in rating of the most strongest nation. Why you want to do that? You know, the Lord tells you not to do that. We should be one nation under God, a republic, indivisible, liberty and justice for all, everyone. Not the courts, the way that the Vatican has set them up with Catholic cardinals and priests and these judges, and they don't rule correctly. There's no justice and judgment of judgment in this country at all. Once in a blue moon, you'll find a good judge. There are just a handful of them around. Okay, then what else?
If today, at times, in foreign countries, parliamentarians or politicians venture to maintain that Germany has not kept her treaties, then we can give as our answer to these men, the greatest breach of a treaty that ever was practiced on the German people. Every promise which had been made to Germany in the 14 points, those promises on the faith of which Germany had laid down her arms, was afterwards broken.
Yeah, because the UN doesn't mean anything it says. You know, they promise you democracy, but they give you dictatorship. Now, to give you an idea of the injustice of our of the judges and of our the prosecuting attorneys, the federal government, here is a confession from one of the people that were there at the courtroom that saw this. Okay, and this is regarding at my trial on that where they railroaded me into prison on false charges and then put it in the press like I'm an ex-convict. That's what they do, is they try to put labels on you all the time so that people no longer listen to you. Okay, go ahead and read it.
To whom it may concern. In 1993, the IRS charged Pastor Lama with income tax violations, and a trial was held in Memphis, Tennessee, before Judge John McCullough. Jeff Dickstein was Pastor Lama's attorney at the trial, and Chris Belcher was the prosecutor for the Department of Justice. After a lengthy trial, the jury went into deliberations and came out telling the court they were hopelessly deadlocked. Dickstein urged Judge McCullough to instruct the jury to continue deliberating until they reached a verdict.
No, but Chris Belcher asked me if I wanted another trial, and I told him yes, and Dickstein said no because there were 17 counts that it was on him for tax evasion, because he hadn't filed for 17 years, and he wrote a book on how to beat the IRS. And the judge and the prosecutor told me that I should get another attorney before the trial, because it could be that he would be indicted during the trial, and then I would be without an attorney. And so Jeff Dickstein said, no, don't do that. I'll win. Because he had won another case for me. They said I wanted to hang a federal judge. And that was a unanimous victory for me in the courtroom over in Fort Smith, Arkansas. I mean, I've been taken into court so many times because if you're not persecuted, if you're in a church that isn't persecuted, then, the Lord says you're not of the law. You have to, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall be persecuted. Then go ahead and finish this.
After several days of deliberating, the jury reached a guilty verdict. After the courtroom was emptied, Joey Orlando, who with myself had been assisting this
with myself, which is Don Swift, who had been assisting Jeff Dickstein with different documents that he needed for the trial. Then what?
Was still in the courtroom getting the file boxes. Joey saw and heard Dickstein walk up to the Department of Justice prosecutor.
They couldn't see Joey Orlando because he was behind the benches where the boxes were, and he was on his hands and knees there putting the files back in. And he heard Jeff Dickstein, my attorney, lay his hand on Chris Belcher's shoulder and say, "Did I do good, Chris?" Because they promised Dickstein, if he sold me down the drain, he did not defend me in that courtroom at all. As a matter of fact, before the court system, he told me, before the trial, he told me, "Tony, we were on our way there," and he says, "Get out of the car and take off, because they're going to bury you in there." Before that, he was telling me, they're not. What they did is made an offer with him that they would drop all charges on him yet that he would not defend me, because they knew he was a good attorney, because he won that case where they said they wanted, that I wanted to kidnap a federal judge. What in the world would I do with a federal judge? Okay? Take him home with me, you know, and put him in the attic or something? You know, some such stupid stuff going on in the accusations today. Then what?
Joey saw and heard Dick Stein walk up to the Department of Justice prosecutor, Chris Belcher, and put his hand on his shoulder and asked Belcher, "Did I do a good job?" He said that Belcher just looked up at Dick Stein. Later, while obtaining and preparing documents for post-conviction motions, we learned that Dick Stein was under investigation and facing prosecution by the IRS for 17 counts of tax violations while he was representing Pastor Lomo against the IRS.
Right. Now, Sweat and Joey didn't know that. That was what the judge and Belcher told me on the telephone. But I trusted Dick Stein because he followed my instructions in the courtroom on how to win the case of wanting to kidnap a federal judge. And they so they didn't know that. I didn't tell them because I was too busy with the church, the business of the church, and fighting these different cases. There was all kinds of persecutions coming against me at that time. And I'm used to it, okay? Then what?
The IRS dropped their criminal investigation against Dick Stein after Pastor Lomo's trial. Later, we received thousands of documents from the IRS offices in Nashville, which they had stolen from the church, concealed, and denied their existence at Pastor Lomo's trial. These documents would have proven Pastor Lomo's innocence. We also obtained proof from their files that both IRS agents, Howlett and Beauregard, as well as the government's chief witnesses, had all perjured themselves in their trial testimony. They had all testified that none of the government's witnesses were paid for their testimony, but evidence from the IRS files proved that their witnesses had been paid for their false testimony or had been freed from jail to come testify against Pastor Lomo. The documents also showed that the Department of Justice prosecutor, Chris Belcher, knew the IRS had paid these false witnesses and stolen the church's records, but still elicited their false testimony at trial. The evidence discovered in the IRS files after the trial proved that Pastor Lomo was railroaded by the government and their lying paid witnesses, and by his own attorney, Dick Stein, who had been threatened with prosecution by the IRS. If all this hidden evidence had been available at trial, the jury would have surely found Pastor Lomo innocent of all charges. Don Sweat.
Okay, so that's our criminal justice. And I get letters all the time from people in prison that shouldn't be there, that they didn't do anything wrong. Okay, they say, and I've sent their transcripts to my attorney in New York, and he's going through them now. Well, I just wanted to, you know, for all you people that are against the Jews in Israel and you think that the Palestinians are right, while I was in jail for the gospel's sake, they put me in a cell with a Palestinian, and we became the best of buddies. I lived in Israel for quite a while, and the Palestinians and the Arabs there, we all got along very good, but the Vatican has people there stirring these different groups up in Israel, and really, the Jews and the Arabs and the Palestinians could live together peaceably, and they also believe that God gave that land to the Jews, but there's just troublemakers there, and the Vatican is famous for stirring up propaganda and all the filth of the Bible calls them the filth of the earth. Amen?
Amen.
They are the filth of the earth. God calls them the great prostitute, the mother of every evil, filthy thing that's on the face of this earth. I see my time is up. I do pray that you will tune in tomorrow because we're going to have a continuation of these things. But right now, those of you that don't know the Lord, and you'd like to, because he's a real wonderful Lord, and he would like to know you, because he loved you so much that he came into the world as a man so that you don't have to go to hell. But if you bypass his love, well, then you will not make it into heaven. So those of you that would like to be saved, say this prayer to the Lord. Say, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that he died on the cross and he shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me on the cross at Calvary. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. Now just raise your hands and praise and thank the Lord for your salvation. And make sure that you keep listening to the program. Make sure that you read the King James Version of the Bible. And keep praising and thanking the Lord. Now, Sharon, tell them four different ways that they can receive a copy of this program, this number tape or CD number 301.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505. Or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, praise the Lord. Until tomorrow, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord. And we've got Gary Paxton to sing another song for you. You know, the people in this world have gotten to the point to where they're savages. They put on dress suits and shirts and tie and everything, and they look sophisticated. But they're sophisticated savages, and here's Gary Paxton, who wrote the song and arranged it, and now he is singing it as well, Sophisticated Savages.